Okay, more calls. Here we go. Matt in Scottsdale, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, how are you guys? I appreciate you taking my call. Okay, so I'm in Scottsdale. I'm from Walnut Creek. It is killing me. I was a coach out there for years. I'm coming back in December. He needs a spanking. Who does that? Like, is there a gas leak? What's going on? You know, it's like we have to be better with that, and he's not acting professional, and it's killing me. I don't know, as a coach out there for 15 years, starting again in like 3 months, I'm like, he just needs to be better.
Matt, thank you very much.
Felt like an uptick.
Well, can I say this, and this, forget the BA situation for a second, even though it applies. When people will say, this is no big deal, my response to that always is like, well, then why would you do it? You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, red shorts is no big deal. Well, no, the correct response is black shorts are no big deal. So if you're doing something, if you're breaking a rule that looks like no big deal, then I'd argue following the rule is also no big deal. So why are you making something out of nothing? We do that too much with authority. We put it on them and go, why are these your rules? And my question would be, why are you breaking them? And I don't think many minds go there, but I'd love to ask Brandon that. Why was it important to you today to wear red shorts? What the hell is that about? Is it a big deal? I don't know. You just made it one. Like, why? It's not a hard rule to follow.
Yeah, it feels like he's been around long enough to understand that black shorts are what you wear to practice. So that is a fair question to ask, and I don't know if he ever will be asked, you know, because normally they only get talked to players after games unless you're the starting quarterback. So after a game, you're probably not going to go to his locker and say, hey, Brandon, what was up with the red shorts last Friday? That question probably doesn't get asked, but that would be an interesting one to get the answer to. Like, not necessarily what were you thinking, but
what led to that? Does it mean something to you when you were first asked? Why did you not take them off immediately? I mean, it all sounds ridiculous, but again, I'd argue that Brandon is the one that took it there.
Agreed, and it goes to a deeper question, I think. And I was thinking about a baseball player who, you know, maybe doesn't run out a ground ball. You know, you hit a ground ball to short, and it's like you kind of jog, and you never make it to first base. And, you know, maybe the manager dresses you down in the dugout or whatnot, or maybe if it's not the first time, you go out to your position in the field, and then he calls timeout, and he sends somebody out to right field, and he replaces you, and you get pulled from the game. And if it's the first time, you probably get a fine, and you probably get talked to, but if it's something more than that, like, this is not the first time that Brandon's done something that's kind of been annoying, so I wonder how many more of these incidents it takes before something happens.
888-957-9570. K-Dog, Corta Madera. Hi, K-Dog. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Willard, Dibbs. How you guys doing?
We're shagging.
Dog.
Yeah, so I got two main topics. One is the emotional maturity of Brandon Ayuk, and number two is team chemistry. I think the fact that these guys held out and took so long and have shown, showed up out of shape, not ready to play, I think it creates disgruntlement amongst the team members, and I think that they're having a hard time gelling and getting it all together. So that's a disappointing situation. I think it happened with Bosa last year as well. So these long-term holdouts for huge money, I think, are a problem. And then Brandon, he's there. It's a big burden. He's a young man making huge dollars now. And then he sees his bro, Juwan Jennings, ball out. And so I think Ayuk is just acting out. He's like Dibbs said, he's like a teenager who's reacting. He's trying to get attention. He's bumming that he hasn't done well himself. And he sees Juwan getting all this attention. And of course, Juwan just signed his contract. He's like, yeah, thank you. Give me $15 million for 2 years. I'm stoked. And Purdy next year, here's $55 million. He'll just sign it, or $60 million or whatever. He's not going to negotiate. He's not going to hold out. He's going to be grateful. And I think that I think that the amount of money that some of these guys make, it distorts their perception and it makes it difficult. And as a fan, it's kind of like, come on, you guys have an opportunity. You've got a gift from God to play. Like, be grateful, play, and don't be so greedy and disrupt the team chemistry. That's all I got.
K-Dog, thanks. Here's what it just made me think of, listening to what K-Dog just had to say. I don't think we're there yet, but let's just say my antennas are up a little bit. After the offseason they had, and I certainly thought, no, there's no way this is going to affect chemistry out there. Like, the players all have one another's backs in these situations because they all want to get paid when it's their turn. But remember, when you look at a team and you look at their talent level, and then suddenly it doesn't add up when they actually play. And you're like, why are you not playing? Why is this not better? You look like you should be better, and it's not better. What's going on there? Often the answer lies within that sort of immeasurable thing that we call chemistry. Look at the Warriors 2 years ago when we thought they had a roster that was ready to win a championship. They had just won a championship. They were at least ready to compete. And my gosh, they couldn't win a game, but there was a specific kind of game that they couldn't win. And you all know what I'm talking about. They couldn't win a road game because the road is sort of where your chemistry comes to be. Well, where have the 49ers been the last 2 weeks?
On the road.
So I don't know. I don't think we're there yet. I can't draw that conclusion yet, but my antennas are up.
Sure.
Hold out, hold in, shorts, whatever. And now, two times as a 6 to 7 point favorite on the road and a big old L. No. Something to watch.
Maybe, yeah. And I think as you get further down, especially when you look at the Ram game, I mean, that's a game that you had no business losing. And I don't know if you lost it based on chemistry issues. For me, it just came down to a few sloppy plays. 5 sloppy plays over the course of the last 13 snaps of the game is what cost you. So it is something to keep an eye on because your Warrior comp is a pretty good one. And I've also been thinking a little bit about the Giants, San Francisco Giants, not this year but last year, and how they ended the year, and talk of Jock Peterson and the Pusoy Dose.
Yep.
Shout out Guru for the Pusoy references. But it turns out that season kind of unraveled because the manager lost the clubhouse and the clubhouse lost the manager because Jock Peterson was playing cards before, during, and after losses. And you transpose that to this year with the Giants, where I know this is not a baseball segment or baseball topic, but the way they're finishing the season this year tells you that they're all still trying and they're all still pretty unified.
Yeah.
Now, they aren't good enough to be a playoff team and they haven't played well enough throughout the whole year, but at least the way they're finishing the year makes you feel some type of way about the group in that clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. Tim in Geneva is next up here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Tim. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking... Well, I was cooking and listening to you. I was ready.
Nice, Tim.
Rock and roll. What do you think, Tim?
All right. So, no, I think the whole uniform thing comes down to decorum and discipline. And I think the organization, the 49ers themselves, are trying to set a certain tone. It's like how John Wooden, you know, made you tie your shoes a certain way in practice, or you had all restart again. It's about developing that formula, that sense of professionalism. Discipline first, creativity second. You have to fit within the discipline, and then there is space for your personality. And so far, Brandon hasn't earned that.
Well, it's interesting because, to be honest with you, and Tim, thanks, even go back to the only thing that, prior to this year, the only thing that any of us ever thought about with Brandon Ayuk outside of his stats was that situation in year two. And none of us know how to define it. We don't really know what it was that was going on. I've heard a thing or two about whatever. He had a good rookie year, and he came back a little bit out of shape and thought that he had arrived as an NFL player. And Kyle Shanahan wanted to send a message and then did, and he worked his way out of it, and he's been a really good player and a really good 49er ever since then. I've never heard one word about Brandon Ayuk, like, not being a team player, not being liked in the locker room. You know, so when we say he hasn't earned that, I don't think that's wrong, But I also think that this is something that's new. And so I'm left to guess as to what has brought us here. And I really do think that he was affected by this offseason. I really do. I've thought it the whole time. And it doesn't feel like he's over it yet. Because whether it's dropping balls, not liking the number of targets, his personal coach is coming on our show and not liking the number of targets, coming out in a red pair of shorts, these are all little things that point to the same thing, which is that Brandon is just not feeling it right now. And I think that that's because of the offseason.
For me, it's beyond not feeling it, although I do think that what you're describing is part of it. For me, it goes to what the previous caller was saying about emotional immaturity, and he doesn't have that maturity that you would expect from a 26-year-old fifth-year pro, because put aside all the contract stuff, and you've had contract battles, and I've had the same, and whatever happens, and you get through it, and you realize, okay, the contract either went your way, or it didn't go your way, but you're signed, and you're working, okay, now you have to set about to do the job. And that ultimately is what you have to do no matter what. And he actually won the contract. He got $30 million a year.
Yep.
And he got a huge guaranteed number. And he got a signing bonus. And so everything that he was holding in for went his way. And whether or not you're getting the targets, and he is actually getting the targets, he had 12 targets in the game, 10 official, two more plays that were negated by penalty were actually targets for him. And so for me, emotionally, those count as targets, because Brock and Kyle Shanahan designed plays and executed plays that were going his way. So if you want to talk about emotional targets, which is kind of a made-up stat, but he had 12 intended targets in that game. And is that not enough? And yeah, you lost and you're feeling some type of way because Juwan Jennings had 175 yards and three TDs and you didn't have either of those. And so the way you're going to express your frustration is by putting on red shorts. And I'm taking many leaps here to put myself in his mind, but I don't understand why you would go in week four and intentionally set about to make this a thing.
That's the thing. This is just a weird maneuver.
Right.
Like, it's, again, not, it's not a big deal on its own, but there's a, just a big, huge why here, because, like, look around. No one does this ever. What an odd thing.
In week four.
In week any.
Well, if this was like OTAs, or if this was like day three of camp and you wanted to come out in like a pink tank top and polka dotted shorts, okay, you're a jokester, you're a prankster, ha ha ha. How funny is that? It's July, it's towel snapping season. This is week four and you're 1-2 and you're going to come out intentionally in the wrong shorts, well, and then put your position coach, you're going to give him the Heisman as he tries to help you out.
Well, not just week four. This is year five.
Right.
You've been a 49er for a long time.
But you're 1-2 also.
Yeah.
Like, if you're 11-1 and you want to come out in red shorts and you're leading the league in touchdowns and you're leading the league in catches.
Oh,
okay.
Dude.
Bro, yeah.
You wear your helmet on your feet for all I care.
Thank you.
But
dude, you're 50th in football in catches, and your team is 1-2.
Kurt in Hayward Hills. Hi, Kurt. What's going on?
It went all downhill.
Kurt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Kurt.
Hello.
Yeah, is it windy up there, Kurt, at Stonebray?
You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you a couple of things. First of all, Brandon Ayuk, this guy is stupid, and he's a baby to pull a stunt like that, because we're in game four now. We're down to 1-2. If we go to 1-3, it's going to be a bad, bad day. New England should not beat us at all. Brandon Ayuk should be at his top performance and not acting like a big baby. Sorry about last week, fellas. I had the Rams losing by 10, but didn't happen, and you saw what happened. After the fake punt, it went all downhill. That's what I saw.
Well,
as far as this weekend, it's a must win. A must win. We do not want to go to 1-3. We got Seattle in front of us at 3-0, and they're playing a team this weekend that they beat six times in a row. So if they go to 4-0 and we drop to 1-3, it's not curtains yet. but we'll be in trouble.
Well,
that's the bottom line.
Yeah, Kurt, neither of those things are happening. Thanks so much.
It's not curtains, but it's a must win.
Well.
Come on, Kurt.
Don't get. Like, give Kurt a little slack. You get what he's saying.
I get what he's saying.
This would be really bad to lose.
Yes.
This would be really bad.
You're 10.5-point favorites.
Yeah. The Niners are going to win. The Lions are going to win on Monday night. Don't worry about all of that. I firmly believe both of those things. But, I'll say this. I wonder if Brandon understands. Like, you hear Kurt say, and you've said this. You said it last week. You said it again this week. We hear a lot of callers say this. Brandon, you better ball out this weekend. You know what's crazy? Brandon, you play in California. It didn't need to be this way. Like, this is
easy.
Totally. Even after the holdout, nobody was like, ultimatum time. Dude, you better. Nobody was doing that. You were going to get all the slack in the world. Niners went to the Super Bowl. You had 1,300 yards. People love you. Everything was going to be forgiven. And then the two things have happened, which is dropping balls and acting a fool. Once you do that, you're setting up something that you don't need. Like, let me say this on your behalf right now. You don't need this.
Right, you don't need the extra smoke.
Forget Kyle or anyone else. You don't need this pressure. You are setting yourself up for a situation where everyone's going to be looking at you every week and expecting 100 yards or else.
Yeah.
You don't need to do this to yourself.
It's just too late. That part of the story has already been written. And it's funny, as you were saying that, I was thinking about Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia, and Eagles fan is still mad at Saquon Barkley for one drop. Forget the fact that he's got four touchdowns and he leads the league in rushing.
He's literally won the other two games for them.
Right, but that drop, Mark, and Philly fan, I'm sure, at Saquon, we never should have gotten that New York Giant. He's a bum, and he leads
that
the league
me
in
off.
Rushing. He's got four touchdowns, so I don't know if BA knows how good he has it out here, but yes, I said it before the year, this is a season that Brandon Ayuk needs to ball out. If not, people are going to come for him, and this is just another reason why people are mad.
Yeah, he didn't need to do that to himself. He did not need this. 888-957-9570. Big Smooth in Oak Town. What's up, Smooth?
Hey, gentlemen. I think people are missing, I'm hearing, he's making so much money. It doesn't matter how much money he's making. It doesn't matter how many catches he has. Dude, this is a rule. It's a team rule. And if he doesn't comply with this, it takes away Shanahan's ability to set any rule. You wear white cleats, whatever. If you allow somebody, even if he has 13 touchdowns, you still cannot allow someone to do that. So I'm assuming he had a bad day. That's fine. I'm sure they talked it out. But if it happens again, guess what? You're going to end up in New England, or you're going to be somewhere else because you can't afford to have a guy on your team that will pull this off. And I'm going to tell you right now, if he's allowed to do this, what's to stop the next person the next time they have an attitude? This is just like a household thing right here. You can't allow it. Now, I'm not saying ship him off because of one thing, but I'm saying if this is a pattern where he's disgruntled, you gotta nip this in the bud, and you may have to send him out, take the hit, but you may have to assume that you can come back with and maybe his production can be three or four other players. I don't know. But you can't allow this to keep going on. It has nothing to do with how much money he makes. I think we're looking at it the wrong way.
Well, I mean, Big Smooth, you're not wrong at all.
Thank you, Smooth.
And I don't think that we're necessarily saying it has to do with how much money he makes. What I'm saying is that's what's going to be held over his head. Fair or foul, he has set a new bar for himself. He has set $30 million. He has set holdout. He has set loud holdout. He has set loud hold in. And then he set the bar with I was a pain in the rear in the end when I didn't need to be. And now red shorts and dropped balls. And whether people should equate it to the salary or not, doesn't matter. They will.
And I don't even know if people are equating it to the salary as much as they are to the hold in and now the drops and then now this. It's because he's become a bigger story than he should be. And we're talking about it today for 3 hours of the show instead of talking about the Patriots and their 3-4 defense and the fact that they have two really good tight ends and a running back who's looking to beat you up. These are all things that we should be talking about, but most people are more interested in Brandon Ayuk and an immature, petulant move to intentionally wear red shorts at practice. Like, what goes into the mindset of a pro athlete on a Friday, which is a red zone Friday? It's the last practice before you get ready for a walkthrough tomorrow. Everyone's locking in on a get right Sunday against New England, and you're going to think, you know what? I'm going to throw on the red shorts. See if I can sneak this past the powers that be. I'm going to don the red shorts today.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, Mark. It's baffling.
Completely.
And it's
completely. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Like, where's your mind going into a game? And, you know, Juwan Jennings has already said this week that he understands that he's probably not going to have another 175-yard receiving game with three touchdowns. He just wants to go out there and contribute, do the best he can, try to get to 100 or whatever his quote was, but he's locked in on not duplicating what he did, because that's almost unduplicatable, if I can make up a word, but he's locked in on having another good performance. And where's Brandon Ayuk's head? In the shorts drawer.
I like these shorts.
Yeah, I look good in red.
These look good.
He just wants to wear red.
Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I'm actually just curious to know if he's, you know, in this case, Brandon Ayuk. I'm, and you're right. I wish we were talking about the Patriots game rather than this situation. It's really ridiculous, but you know, it is what it is at this point. But I'm actually curious to know: is he acting up because he is just wanting the attention, or is there really just something where he's just a little bit too bitter about how everything went down, and now he's getting all the criticism and everything? I just hope that he's actually talking to, especially Brock Purdy, about trying to get back on the same page. You know, whether they go, like, meet up for, like, dinner or something, doesn't matter. Like, just work it out. And I'm hoping that he's talking with Brock about, like, how can we fix this at this point? And the other thing I wanted to make mention of, you know, especially with the way he's acting up and everything, you know, this is the time, and I'm not actually making smoke or a joke about this, if he's actually talking to someone, like, on a one-on-one basis in regards to, like, mental health and everything. You know, I mean, I see a therapist, and I hope that he's doing something about it where he's actually able to get all his frustration and everything like that out, talking to someone like that, whether it's a team therapist or his individual therapist or something like that, of actually just getting back on, just getting a more clear head and just getting, you know, back to, you know, what's important, and that's being on the field and just being the player that we know he can be. You know, obviously with him, like, going in there, just being rusty, I can understand that. But, you know, we're going into week four now. He needs to get back to the way that we know the Brandon Ayuk was. So that's all I got to say, guys. Thank you.
Mike, thanks. I have no idea what his mental health situation is. I think psychologists, sports psychologists, I think that's a great thing. Therapy, great thing. Absolutely suggest it for everyone, for that matter. That said, I don't know necessarily where Brandon is on that. I can't speak to that. But whether they're big or small, he's making some bad decisions right now. I said this throughout the month of July and August. He's making a bad decision. I don't know if he's getting bad advice or not, but he's making a bad decision. TJ let what I thought was actually the most interesting thing out of that entire interview, TJ Houshmandzadeh, the other day, was he said directly to us, because we questioned him on it. I'm like, dude, you said to us 3 months ago, if he gets the Amon-Ra deal, he's in camp the next day. And then he got that offer, and he didn't show up the next day. And TJ's like, I told him to sign it.
Yeah.
I was on the phone with him. I told him to sign it. He didn't sign it.
Yeah.
He's a grown man. I can't tell him what to do, but I can now weigh in on this. Brandon is making bad decisions, and it's not just one. And they are outside of the team concept, all of them.
And I won't even try to put myself in the shoes of mental health or mental health expert, because you never know what any player or any person is going through individually. I mean, I have a good idea of, your life and what you go through. You and I talk about it, but still, I don't know what you deal with, Grandy and Lucas, director of sports, myself, anybody. And so I don't want to put that out there as a thing. All I can do is react to the behaviors and the things that I see. And this today is as troubling as any TikTok or poop emoji or other things, because he is, for me, the action today to intentionally wear red shorts and then to be so defiant as to not put on the black shorts when they're given to you by an assistant coach, that feels to me like a cry for attention. And maybe it's not the attention that he wants to get, the attention of the ball being thrown to him, but perhaps because he's not getting that positive attention, he's seeking negative attention. And you see that a lot in younger people where, you know, you have somebody acting out to get attention, because when you're doing the right thing, sometimes you don't get noticed, you don't get the attention.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, gosh, what you just described is literally the entire epidemic issue for teenagers right now on social media. Like, he's not getting enough likes.
Right. In his case, likes are throws.
Yeah, right. He's not getting enough comments. You look good. Oh, looking good, brother. He's not getting, and this has been, you can take that to the contract conversation. He is not getting the reaction that he's looking for. That has been true now for 7 months. He's not getting the reaction he's looking for. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to get all sort of mental health and abstract here. But, like, you know this, I know this, I hope all humans know this. Like, that's within, man. That's within. And it's a wide receiver issue on some levels, because they're complementary pieces on a football field. They can't throw the ball to themselves.
Right.
That has a lot to do with the psychology, I think, of why some wide receivers act the way they do. But, dude, if you're not getting targets and you're not getting likes and you're not getting positive attention and you're not getting the money offer that you want and this, that, the other, you're not going to find the answers externally on TikTok or with a red pair of shorts. And ain't it?
It's tough, though, because that is the easy way to go about it, to get attention. And this is something we see in younger people where, you know, it's easier to get attention when you do something negative, because then you're going to draw the attention of the powers that be. And that's, to me, what this feels like.
Jose in Oakland is next. Hi, Jose. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Look, prior to all these things going on with Brandon, we never heard anything negative about him. It seemed to me like he was a model teammate and somebody, you know, that everybody liked. And it reminded me a lot of Terrell Owens. He was pretty much the same, very polite with coaches as well as with, you know, veteran players. But once he got that contract, in his mind, he had arrived. He was a star, and he demanded that attention. He demanded to get a certain amount of passes, you know, targets. I think Brandon is kind of getting to that point where in his head, when he doesn't get 12, 15 targets, he's being disrespected as a star. And he wants to, you know, protest on his own way. But on the process, I wouldn't be surprised if he is also acting up around his teammates on a way that he's trying to make them feel like, you know what, I am a star and you're going to treat me as a star. And that might be affecting the chemistry. Now, as far as, you know, him actually acting up like Terrell Owens, there's a big difference. Terrell Owens acted like a diva, but the guy, whether he was happy or unhappy, he came in and produced all the time. Brandon is not doing that. And he's going to get that criticism from the, you know, from the public, from the fans, and he's not going to like it. He's going to feel that he's being disrespected now also by the fans. At some point, he's either going to get traded or that he's going to cut him. Unfortunately, because he got that big guaranteed money, in his mind, and unfortunately, it is a fact, what are they going to do? Fire him? Trade him? Cut him? They can't. It's guaranteed money. And they're stuck with him. So it's a no-win situation for the team. The team is the one that's going to end up losing on this World Cup, and that's something they should have seen coming. The Niners kind of got that one on themselves by letting that contract situation with him languish to the point where he started demanding more money than he actually deserved.
Yeah, I mean, Jose, it's a fair position. I think that, just my opinion, in this moment, it's a little bit of an overly dramatic take in terms of, like, they're going to trade him, they're going to cut him. And I know you mean at some point.
Sure.
I don't think the conversation is there yet. But if you do want to flatly say, hey, the Niners should not have caved on this through this offseason and they will eventually regret this deal, that I think that's a pretty fair take.
It's possible.
It's a fair take.
My part of it, and Jose is such a great call, and I think he hits on it, is the thing that I was saying all along, is make sure that you know the player and make sure you know how the player is going to react and be when you give him this much money. Because I'm looking at the contract right now, and I'm seeing a potential out in 2027 with a dead cap of $9 million at that point. So, you know, you could get out at any time. At the end of this year, you could get out, and the dead cap hit would be $39.3 million, which would be a gigantic amount of money to eat. But if you really, really wanted to get out of it, there's a way to get out of it if this goes...
Oh, for sure.
If this goes totally bad. But I just would look at the front office and think, did you see any of this behavior coming? And, you know, you saw a little bit of it during the hold in, like you said, and the TikTok and some of the other things he was doing passive aggressively. But I think you're seeing a pattern of behavior that would be troubling. And then you go ahead and give him $120 million. That's shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you have to look at the Niners situation in that moment. And everybody wanted the Niners to be absolutely desperate to win a Super Bowl. And I think they are. I think they are. And Brandon Ayuk makes them a better football team. Or that certainly was the position throughout the offseason. You said they're not even a Super Bowl contender without him. And so, like...
And now they're probably not a Super Bowl contender with him.
I mean, not in this moment.
Sure.
Super Bowl contender has not...
Yeah.
I don't know who is and who is not yet. I'm pretty sure that the New York Giants aren't.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the Panthers aren't.
In 2027, his base is 27.2, and then the next year his base is 29.2. So those years already feel like they're probably not going to ever come into fruition, but that still leaves this year and two more years where Brandon Ayuk almost certainly will be a 49er unless you trade him.
This extension hasn't even started yet.
Right.
I know he got a signing bonus, but he is still now on a $14.1 million base contract because this is not that. The four-year extension starts next year.
Right.
So anyway, let's go to Coach Johnson. Hey, Coach, thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. Hi, Dibs. Hey, love your show, guys. Dibs, I've been listening to you ever since you were with Uncle Gary years ago. You always make me laugh.
Thank you.
What's in the box?
Totally.
What's in the box? Yeah. Hey, I played with your brother Doug at junior college 1 year in basketball, too.
Yeah, shout out Napa, the Chiefs, I believe, at the time. Doug was second team All-State, led the state in free throw percentage, but he forgot to go to class. Go ahead, Coach.
Oh, yeah. I'm calling because I wanted to talk about, you know, Ayuk's little problem with his uniform today. I mean, we have practice uniforms for a reason, and if somebody comes strolling out in different shoes they're supposed to have on, different shorts, different shirts, like you guys are saying, what are you doing? It's about individualism, and it's absolutely not about the team. And if we got a kid doing that, of course, you know, I'm at a lower level, but if we had a kid doing that, you're going right back in the locker room and you're changing. And we might be running a little bit with the team just to prove a point that you can't be doing that, and your teammates might get pissed at you for pulling that little trick, and maybe a little peer pressure will stop it.
Well, Coach, that's kind of an issue. We talked about it a little bit. Thank you for calling a little bit earlier in terms of, where do the actual players stand on this, and to what level does one of them need to be the one to say something? My bet is the players, at least if you spoke to them, they're like,
he was wearing what?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Red shorts and a contract holdout. Whatever. But, you know, somewhere in there, I do look at it this way. Whether you like Kyle Shanahan or not, he's in charge. And if this bothers him, then that's a thing. And I also don't take this on its own. You know, like this, I don't see how this can't all be attached. I'm not saying he's doing it because of the holdout situation directly, but all of this leads to the same thing and comes from the same place. Brandon not feeling wanted, not feeling loved, feeling frustration with the way things are going, drop balls, lack of targets, lack of the offer he wanted, whatever. Now too much attention, too much negative attention. All comes from the same place, I think.
Yes, and I do think that you get a sense of being emboldened when you get a contract like that, because Brandon Ayuk knows that for the next 3 years until you get to 2027, he's going to be paid, and he's almost certainly going to be a 49er. And this has all made me get a little bit of Zach Littell vibes, Mark. And you remember,
I was thinking about that
Zach
earlier
Littell,
too. Yep.
I guess it was last year or the year before, and Kapler comes to take him out, and he kind of forcefully slams the ball into Kapler's hand, and Kapler follows him and right into the tunnel. And we don't see the dressing down that he received, but we do know that the next day, Zach Littell was no longer a San Francisco Giant.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon Ayuk is in a spot where even if this was a dramatic fight between the two, he knows that he's not going to get the Zach Littell treatment.
Of course not.
He's paid in full.
Yeah, absolutely. No, like we're nowhere near this.
And I wonder if Brandon was playing on his fifth-year option, if he would have come out wearing red shorts. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
If he's still like playing for that contract, does he still come out in red shorts? It just, I don't know. This feels to me like a move, like a little bit of a flex, like, I'm making $30 million large. I'm gonna wear red shorts.
Let me ask you this: what's a bigger deal to you, the fact that he wore red shorts, or that he took a minute and a half and two coaches to talk to him before he changed the red shorts?
The second part.
See, me too.
Because he clearly was given a pair of proper black shorts by his either position coach or a team trainer. Somebody gave him the proper pair to try to prevent this from being what it is. And the fact that he blew off that initial intervention, that to me is a bigger deal than just the ultimate defiance of the act.
Yeah, same. Like, because I don't know if the original act is innocuous. I don't know if he's just like, you know, I'm gonna wear some red today. Maybe he didn't even realize it was a thing. I have a hard time believing that, but who knows? Maybe that just was like, you know, I'm gonna try something today. I'm feeling this, you know? But dude, the second that the bosses make it very clear that this matters, I don't know. That, like, come on, man. Like, here's a pair of shorts, change your shorts. And then he stuffs them in his pocket and goes, starts running routes again.
Mm.
That to me is way more defiant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
And this is from a guy who has made a lot of defiant moves. I mean, I've done defiance before. And
you have?
I've paid the price, for sure. And I'm trying to remember who I said that to when I said, what if I don't? And I'm trying to remember. It was in a professional environment, and it didn't go well for me. I do know that.
How about Vince in the city? Hi, Vince. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys. If I might have vaccination, I'm going across the Richmond Bridge. But just to start, I feel like BA's been bitter ever since the Super Bowl. If you can go back to that interview in the locker room after they lost, he didn't really have much to say. You know, he was in his field, and I get it. You just lost the biggest game of your career again. But, you know, they asked him about the next season. He was like, I don't know. He was very shut off. And then all offseason, you even mentioned he got that Amon-Ra deal, but then he still said no, and TJ said you should have signed it. Well, now I'm starting to see, like, well, are you upset that, like, you know, other guys are getting more rep than you? Like, Debo, Kittle, and CMC, like, are you upset about your shine because you're not getting enough shine? You know, and he's just throwing off total diva vibes. And kind of like what Jose was saying, he's coming off with that T.O. persona, but he ain't playing like T.O. He's playing like a number three wide receiver, possibly a number four. So I don't know where this attitude came from. I feel like he's just entitled. And I mean, I get it. You work your whole life to get to this point to make this money for your family. It's generational wealth. But at the same time, you also have other guys on the roster who are relying on you to hold up your end of the bargain, and you haven't so far. So that's why there's so much pressure with this game. You're playing one of the garbage teams in the league right now, and if you go out there and, you know, put up 40 yards, it's not gonna end well. If he set this all up himself, like you guys have said.
Vince, thanks. I mean, I think about it this way. Again, this is just me, a little bit of a speculative guess, but what was the entire offseason about for Brandon Ayuk?
He just wants to get paid.
Okay. So, habits get formed. This is a team that was in the Super Bowl, had a frustrating loss, and you've had a number of players admit that it was hard for a period of weeks to get sleep, to feel okay. Nick Bosa has said it. Trent Williams has said it. Like, this was a very frustrating offseason. Now, Brandon, 48 hours after the loss, is already on Instagram. Might be the last time we're here at Levi Stadium. His entire focus left the team and went to him. I'm not saying that that's wrong, because that's life in the big city and in the NFL.
Yep.
You got to go get what's there for you when you can. It's too physical to not. So I have no issue with that. What I have issue with is once that's done, now you got to step back out of it. And Brandon spent such an extended period of time in that space. Based on what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing from him now, he's having a hard time stepping back out of the individualism of the offseason and getting back into the team mode.
Well, who or whom would be the one to step in and help shake his tree? Because we talked to TJ Houshmandzadeh, his personal coach, who all but said to you and said to us that, yeah, he tried to give him advice and he's a grown man.
Yep.
So is there somebody in his life who can pull him aside and say, hey, B.A., it's time to run routes and catch footballs and wear black shorts to practice? Right?
I hope. I hope. We don't know who that person is. Debo, Dad, Trent, TJ. I don't know.
The Dimmer.
He's welcome on the show. Absolutely welcome.
They said they don't want me.
We'd love to talk to him.
He ain't better than me.
I won't change the tone, but he's welcome. All guests on 95.7 The Game, in fact, appear on the River Islands guest line. I don't know that Brandon will, but isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. More of your calls next on Willard and Dibs.
To Possible. Chase for business. Make more of what's yours. Real business owner compensated for their participation. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank. NA member FDIC. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
You thought you were going to get out of here.
What do you mean?
You ain't getting out of here. You ain't getting away.
Without him playing the grunts?
You are not going.
Yeah.
You are not going to skate. We're not letting you do it.
Why would I want to skate when I'm hot? I'm 2-0-1 in my last three.
That's not hot. You remember the definition of hot. It's got to be three in a row. That's not three in a row.
Three straight undefeated.
Well, that doesn't do anything for anybody. Nobody,
those are facts.
Nobody won any money last night.
This isn't soccer. You did not pick up a point last night.
That's fair.
We can
2-0-1.
It's a holdover. So if you get the next one, you can claim hot. But you got to get the next one, and the next one's a big one.
Oh, it's huge.
Because we're heading into the weekend. It is almost Friday night.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And there are like 8 minutes left. And we have yet to fade the Dibber.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
49ers and Patriots, and the number is not small. At Levi's Stadium on Sunday at 1:05, the Niners will lay 10.5 points. Dibs?
Mark, the pick is in. And, man, there's not been a game yet this year where I've gone back and forth and Fourth and Back. Shout out Cameo and the great 80s song. But I've settled on a position, and I just want to say this to you and Grandy and Lucas and everyone out there in the land of the 49er faithful. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm taking New England in the 10 and a half.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes. Fade!
Get right, Spot, baby.
Niners by 30.
Fade! 27-3. Fade!
I need to give you the rationale.
Fade!
It's going to be 25-15.
Fade!
Not a score, Gami.
Fade! Fade!
Okay, I get it. You're fading the Denver. New England is fifth in the league in run defense. Brandon Ayuk can't even wear the correct shorts to practice. I see this as a very low-scoring game. What the Rams did last Sunday is they exposed the Niners, running 12 personnel. What do the Patriots run on offense? 12 personnel. And the final piece, Mark, is something I've told you about ever since we started doing the show together.
Everybody's dancing! Fade!
Rest advantage. The Patriots have a 3-day rest advantage, slightly offset by the travel. I like the hook. I'm not saying the Patriots will win the game, but I'm taking the 10.
What'd they do in that last game before they had the rest advantage?
They didn't have a rest advantage against the Jets.
Oh. No, Lucas. That game.
Which game, Lucas?
The Jets game. I forgot. We picked that one.
Right. Neither team had a rest advantage. It was the opener.
Yeah, you picked the Patriots plus 6.5. They lost by 21 in that
Admittedly,
one.
That was a bad pick. And that was a one-day rest advantage.
I told you it was a bad pick the second you made it.
You all did. And I laid an egg on that one, but not this one.
And Willard, this pick is?
He can't stop clapping.
A really bad one.
What?
A really bad one.
It's a lot of points now.
Patriots aren't getting to 10.
Teams that have 5.5-point underdog status or greater are 13-2 against the spread this year.
Oh, data.
Those are facts.
That has nothing to do with this. What's your girl got to do with me?
I got a man.
What's your girl got to do with me?
I got a man.
Yeah, I know it's man. Anyway.
10.5. I'm taking the 10.5. It's too big to resist. I'm not saying they win the game.
Fade!
I get it. Clap, clap, clap. Fade, fade, fade. I'm 6-4, you chumps. Go ahead and keep fading me.
We're due, baby.
You keep losing. Yeah, you're due.
I've never seen the other room start dancing. They started dancing.
The last time your pick has failed was the last Niner game you picked. We're going with the trend here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because that New England game was on a Thursday.
Take that.
That was week three Thursday night. Your week three Niner pick from Sunday was Niners minus 6.5.
Of course,
I've written all these down. I'm logging them.
Why don't you tell me what my last three picks were then, Brainiac?
Buffalo minus 4. They won by 37.
Thank you.
Good pick.
Yep.
Washington plus 7. They straight up won.
Win.
Great. Dallas minus 5.
Thank you. Push. And both of those Monday night wins, cackle over here. Cackleosaurus Rex was, I'm going against both of them.
Yeah, because I've learned that you make money when you fade the Dibbers. Nobody gets all of them right.
I'm 6-4. If you faded me every time, you'd be what?
Week 4.
4
dude.
And 6,
week
dog.
Week 4.
I'm hot.
Trust the process. I also know that the second, what are you in Niner games this year?
I'm 1-2 just like them.
Yeah. Yeah,
just like
I know the second you picked the Rams, I don't know how many people listened to the end of the show. I fell into straight depression.
Oh, get over
last
yourself.
Friday at this exact, I fell into depression when you picked the Niners.
And I put the mortgage on that one.
Good.
You rent. You're a renter. You're 23 years old and you rent.
Fade!
I get it. Can we take this last call before we dip into the weekend?
Jeff in San Jose, first of all, welcome to the show. And second of all, from me to you, fade the Dibbers.
Jeff, are you
hey
there?
Guys, hopefully you are going to have a nice weekend.
You too. I am now because I'm going to fade the Dibbers.
Don't laugh at that.
So I just wanted to comment on Brandon Ayuk, of course, been the hot topic. I'm just hoping that he doesn't turn into a Michael Thomas, you know, from New Orleans Saints.
It's a good call. It's an interesting call.
Contract. Yeah, once he got that big contract, it's all downhill from there. And I was always on the side of I didn't think Brandon Ayuk was a marquee player, and he didn't really deserve that contract. That's why when you pay a Justin Jefferson, you get production. And when you pay some of these players who think that they're marquee, it just doesn't turn good. So hopefully I'm wrong.
Well, yeah. I agreed, Jeff.
Hopefully, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
Hopefully you're wrong. But by the same token, yeah, it's scary.
He's allowed to do that, to use your parlance.
Yes, he is.
He's allowed to go into full shutdown mode.
He's allowed to go. I mean, look at some of the contracts that have been signed in this city recently, and the teams tried to get out of them as quickly as possible. Jordan Poole, Jorge Soler. Like, I'm not saying we're anywhere near that with Brandon Ayuk. We're not.
Of course.
But it happens. Life comes at you fast in pro sports, and you see a lot of players that look one way in February, and they come back in September, and they're not the same, and they might not ever be the same again.
And we both said before the draft that it didn't seem likely that they'd have a highly paid Ayuk and a highly paid Debo both on the team come next year.
Yeah.
So that is always in the back, Chris Berman of my mind, because if this continues like this, wearing the wrong shorts and having the dropsies, and Debo's injured, and you've got two rookies in the wings. I don't know, Mark. It feels like they're not just going to run it back next year.
Grandy, what are you doing in 4 minutes?
Well, we're going to set up this whole Brandon Ayuk fiasco once again. We'll hear from Cam Inman. You guys like reacting to it.
Fiasco.
That's what's coming up next.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So a little bit more on the BA situation, which broke during our show?
I guess.
I mean, what are we doing?
From dropping passes to dropping trowel.
What
today's show.
What is our job? I mean, honestly. But here comes Grandy, and he's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
No, I'm going to a parade.
How about Sunday?
Football day.
You want to do it on Monday?
I'll get back to you.
Fade the Devon.
I'm showing up, whatever. 25-15, Patriots cover.
For Fade, for Grandy, and for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.